Where do the Nets land on Bet Online's early season win totals, odds to make the playoffs, odds to win the championship? Is Bet Online correct? Is there work to be done? Where do the Nets stand heading into this season? Going to cover it all, but first, theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. I am Doug Norrie, the owner-operator, DFSR.com. If you need projections for FanDuel, DraftKings, got you covered, DFSR.com. Football rolling through that season, awesome week one. Obviously basketball when that comes around, MLB rolling toward the end of the season here. All covered, PGA, all covered for you on DFSR.com. No Adam Armbrecht today. He is out of pocket. That's all right. He's going rolling through football stuff as well. He'll be back next week. We got you covered as we roll into the weekend here in Nets World. Want to let you know that this show and today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. And BetOnline is actually where I want to start this episode today, because they have up all of the, not all, but they have a lot of early season lines as we start to look forward to the NBA season and kind of just like get a layout of how this season could unfold for the Brooklyn Nets. Like, you know, they already have lines for the first games of the season up right now. So, you know, opening night, Sixers, Celtics minus five over the Sixers, Lakers and Warriors already minus six. See how that Lakers season turns out. And if you go into the next day, which is October 19th, so that's like, that's the official first big slate of NBA action. You get the two games always the first night of the year, and then it really starts rolling the second night. The Nets are already right now minus four against the New Orleans Pelicans. I talked a lot at length last episode about how that early season is going to look for the Nets, how the schedule lines up to be, I wouldn't call it favorable, but it'll be definitely be telling in that they have five decently hard matchups to start the year. But they do open the season minus four against New Orleans, who's going to get Zion back. That's something that we're going to look more closely at when as we get closer to the season. The line did actually open at minus five, 5.5. And has already been bet down to minus four for the Nets, who are at home in that first game. We'll see if that ends up landing, you know, as we get closer to the season. But if we look at just some full-on season stuff when it comes to the Nets, we start to get at least sort of a picture of how, let's say, Bet Online, let's say Vegas, whatever betting markets, however you want to describe those, are looking at Brooklyn to start the year. And I find it pretty interesting. We know that last year, this team was notoriously tough to get a handle on. Like, they were up there in the finals discussion when it came to betting markets way late into the season when they weren't even in the playoffs. Like, they were still looking at a play-in game, and it felt like always like these odds. It's hard to sometimes, you know, gather where they come from. It's always it's speculative, but this stuff born out of metrics too. Like, you know, places, the books have a long history of being correct with this stuff. The math is sort of undefeated over the course of a long, long sample size. But the Nets are one of those teams that's just tough to get a handle on it. And I think that's the case here when we look at going into this season as well. We already know there's tons of question marks. We already know that we don't have an idea of how it totally looks yet in terms of the KD, Kyrie, Ben Simmons fit. We're coming off a summer where Kevin Durant asked out, where it looked like Kyrie might not be back with the team before picking up the player option. We already know all of these questions that surround the team, the question marks. That's the theme. The theme for the Nets this whole season has been question marks. The all off season and even into the end of last season, just always these question marks. So let's look at a couple lines where BetOnline has the Nets in terms of just like where they view them as a team, where markets view them as a team in terms of wins. We'll look at division odds. We'll look at championship odds as well. But I did want to start with the wins. Right now on BetOnline, the Nets over under for their wins on the season is 50.5, right? So where does this leave the Nets? So if you look back at last year, which is not a perfect proxy by any stretch of the imagination because they had so many problems. This team finished 44-38, did have a positive point differential on the season when it was all said and done, but obviously dealt with more problems than one team should ever really ever have to go through in the course of one season, right? Like Kevin Durant injury, James Harden trade, Simmons doesn't come back, Kyrie sits out a big part of the first part of the really, I mean, most of the year because of the vaccine stuff. Like, and they still finished six games over 500 with a positive point differential when it was all said and done. And so you say to yourself, 50 and a half wins, that should be an absolute lock. Like they have to win eight more games than last year in a season where every single thing went wrong. How could that just not be an utter lock on Bet Online? And I agree with you on a high level. Like if that's the line of thinking that you have around their win total, then I totally get it. Because in some ways that math feels pretty easy. It's like everything went wrong last year. If things even go 50% more correct this season, how could they just not win eight more games? Like it feels like a total lock. If you remember, you know, the COVID stuff, not even the Kyrie piece, but all the players that were in that were out during the middle of the season, that kind of has to get wiped away because most teams dealt with that at some point. So like it's hard to use that as a we would have won. Those are games that are going to be the win are going to end up being wins because most teams went through this massive upheaval in terms of their personnel around like that December timeline when just COVID struck and everyone was testing positive and teams were bringing guys like literally off the street in terms of playing. But if you look at 44 wins last year and 50 and a half this year, you're like, oh my God, this like, how am I not just unloading it over here for the over? Like Kevin Durant's back. Kyrie Irving's not going to have to sit out home games or all games to start the season. Ben Simmons is going to play this season, right? These are all things that we have sort of made to be locks at this point for us. Like these are just things that are going to happen. 50 and a half would feel like an utter, I mean, like why even talk about it, right? Like that to some degree you want to say to yourself, why even discuss this? 51 wins and we win this thing? Good. We're good to go. But I think there are things to look at here where this number is born out of. So if you look at sort of comparatively around some other teams that are in this range, like who are other teams that have win totals, like 55 and a half is the win total for the Celtics. If you look at the Sixers, I'm just going through these division and some of the other good teams in the East. The Sixers are right at 50 and a half wins also. If you look at Milwaukee's at 53 even right now, so you can push it at 53. Those are the top four teams in the East. Miami's just a tick under the Nets at 50 wins on Bet Online. So you're like, okay, why? What's the world where they don't? I just told you all the ways that they can hit this over, right? Like, because it's the ways that you want to think about it as a fan. You want to say to yourself, oh, all this stuff's just going to go correct. And obviously, 51 wins is just going to get there because last season, that was the season from heck. So we don't get the explicit tag on here. The season from heck ended eight games underneath this number that gets you to the win. How can we not just automatically pound it in there? But there are, like, to me, this number feels correct. Even if the top side of this, like the over part of it, is a very easy case to make for this. Like, it's very easy to make the case. I just did it. Like, just things just don't go off a cliff, right? like last year was the cliff dive. This year is not a cliff dive. They hit the over every time, right? Relative health, guys play, no mandates. Simmons is on the court. They had a good offseason in terms of just getting some depth on this team in terms of guys who can score, some upside plays. We get Harris back for another shooter. Like, there's so many things that could go right for the Nets here that you're like, oh my God, how could this not hit? I will tell you though, there is a reason I think that this 50 and a half ends up being around the correct number, and just at least in like ways you need to think about the team. Because remember, we have to envision all scenarios in a number like this. And when we start envisioning all scenarios, there are scenarios where this number doesn't come close. And I'll look back at last year. Like, I think their number was 56 and a half to start the season last year. This is before the mandate. This is before all this other stuff happened. They're coming out of training camp. And that seemed like an absolute and utter lock to me. 56 and a half. I was like, this team, after coming, they're healthy after this epic run that they had where they just only were undone by injuries. How do they not hit this number? I do think there's a world where this 50 and a half number, now you can start making cases for why it might just stick in this range. Going to talk about some championship stuff too, division odds. Also, First, going to talk to you about our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net, your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. I already talked to you about basketball. Also, find all the latest developments, game matchups, news, podcasts. They got this year's, we're going into week two here on BetOnline after a big week one. That's all covered for you there. They have all your sports wagering information. They got the live betting, got the esports if you're into that as well. Like I said, if you're into MLB, MMA, boxing, golf, it's all there for you at BetOnline. Go throw something in on these futures. Also, head on over to the website. Use that mobile device here. You can learn all about the trends, all about the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Also, before we get into this too, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Giannis, which NBA player moves the betting lines the most this season? Locked On and BetOnline odds makers present NBA Top 50 Most Valuable Players starting on September 19th. Find it on Locked On NBA, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube. And actually mentioning that too, like with the BetOnline Top 50, I recorded a spot for this about KD, which I really want you to be able to check it out. We'll put it out there when it actually goes live, because I had some bones to pick with where BetOnline had KD on this list. Let's hope it's not the final one. I already recorded it. Let's hope it changes, because, man, I was like, they have him where? What's going on here? So make sure you check out the BetOnline Top 50 when that hits over there on Locked On NBA. All right, so the 50.5 over-under number for the wins for the Nets this season. Let's just, like, I know people hate to do this. People hate to look at the downside sometimes. I mean, some fans only want to look at the downsides. I get it. Like, some people just, all they want to do is think about the downsides that, you know, the pessimist glass half empty. You know, maybe you're frustrated with where the team is. I think sometimes folks just, like, want the team to do poorly, like, weirdly. They would pass a lie detector that they don't, but all the things that they say and do strike me as just such negative Nelly stuff. But where's the under come from? Because again, like, just to reiterate, like, the over feels obvious. It's so easy to make the over case. So here's the case for the under, because I think there are worlds where you can get there kind of pretty quickly on why this number could hit the under. Now, I do think that, unlike some other teams, the Nets have some downside risk with their number, with their win total number, that maybe some others don't. So let's just go through a couple scenarios where this number could look way high by the end of the season, right? Like, where you're like, 50.5, what was I thinking? This always happens, right? This always happens later in the season. You have to readjust the way you're thinking about something. It's so hard to think about where you were in the moment. But let's just look at a few scenarios where the Nets, like, where this number doesn't even come close, okay? And I think these are somewhat realistic. The first is that they struggled to start the season and KD reiterates the trade demand. I think, like, that one we have to just discuss as a reality, because it already happened. Like, the guy already requested a trade once. So this isn't born. I'm not just pulling this out of thin air and being like, oh, what if? Like, he already did it. So it's not even really a what if. It's maybe just a when again will it happen. And if KD requests a trade in season, and it's just because they get off to a slow start, it's not gelling, the Simmons thing doesn't work, like, which I'll get to in a second, there's a world where the winds start kind of cratering a little bit. And again, this is just born out of things that have already happened. He already did this. We just are only a few weeks removed from him rescinding the trade request. So is it nuts to think that this could happen in season again? Of course not. Of course, it could definitely happen. That would set off, like, probably something like a chain of events that the Nets fans don't want to see, but would sacrifice wins going forward in the season. Like, he sits out games or trying to trade them. Things are unhappy because it's not going well. That right there starts to make this number look really, really in flux. We have not seen Ben Simmons yet. He's working out. It looks fine. Every year is Ben Simmons' year in terms of when it comes, like, you know, the offseason stuff. I want him to play well. We just haven't seen it. We want him to come back fully healthy. We want him to be the player he was. I believe it's going to be the case, but we are a year removed from him not even having played, right? And he has not stepped on a court in more than a full basketball season. Well, in a full basketball season, he had back surgery in the offseason. It looks like he's fully healthy. We are in a big time question mark wait and see mode with him. Also, him not being fully healthy and him not returning to the player that he was before this would start impacting this win total for sure. And they probably would have something like simultaneous side effects, because if that happens, then it's going to be harder for the Nets to be good. And we reintroduce the KD situation that I just talked about a second ago. And that affects Kyrie too, because if the trade stuff comes back up because of there's some struggles, Kyrie's on an expiring here with the player option. Like, you would have to start thinking about a scenario where he gets moved too. I hate to be like this, but I'm just saying this is where we have to start thinking about where these totals come from and why sometimes it's much harder to look at the under sometimes. It's way more fun to bet overs. Like, this is everyone knows this that's done any betting. It's way more fun. Betting under sucks. Because you're rooting for something not to happen. And when you watch sports, you're almost always rooting for something to happen. This is why overs get bet more, because of this exact emotional and sort of like mental response to watching sports. You don't want to bet unders. It's not fun. It means something is not happening. It means you're sitting there hoping for something not to happen, which is the worst way to watch sports. So you bet the over. I get it. I get why this happens, but there's a reason the unders exist. There's a reason that we have to talk about it. There's a reason this number got set where it is, and these are just some of the reasons. And if I put it that way, you can see, like, there's a world where this can really just kind of fall off a cliff. And with the Nets, I think we're in a situation with the Nets in terms of this win total where I actually think that we're probably either beating this by like something like 10%, like they're at like 55, 56 wins or something like that, or they're losing, they're under this by like 15% because of all the things that I just said. Like, there's a range of outcomes here for the Nets that's significantly wider than a lot of other teams. Other teams have this stuff too. Like, you know, every team, if their best player gets hurt, you really start running it impacted and stuff. Like, but that's kind of, I will say with the player injury thing, that's kind of built in for every team. The Nets have that built in and this other stuff, right? Like, if we build an injury risk basically equal for all teams, maybe a little bit more for teams that are on a little bit on the older side. But if every team, if fluke injuries can happen, players just get injured, that's built in kind of for every team, that kind of downside. If you assume that to be the case, then you have to look at these other external factors which can affect how the teams can end up overall performing. And that's where the Durant stuff comes in. That's where the Simmons, because this is beyond just the normal stuff. This is beyond just the stuff that just happens with every team. These are externalities that exist for the Nets that don't necessarily exist for other squads. And that is where the downside risk for them becomes a lot more apparent. It becomes a lot more, there just is more of a downside. And it's not fun to look at, but I want to make sure we're thinking about this correctly in terms of how we view the Nets and how we view this win total. I still, putting it in right now, would take the over on this, I think, because I think that they do have an upside and they actually have a depth now that would make me feel better about taking it. Like, if Simmons didn't, like, let's say this, Simmons isn't healthy. Still a core of KD, Kyrie, and the players that they brought in the offseason is good enough to get there on this number, right? Like, so that's one thing that can happen. The Kevin Durant situation is another one which would make me feel less comfortable, but I do think with even a moderate commitment about playing out this year for Durant, I think we, you know, move that away. So I think I'm still on the over here on the 50.5, but I just wanted to make sure I introduced the reasons why you can talk yourself really easily into the number. And it's a number that people, frankly, often don't want to talk themselves into because it's just, like I said, less fun. In a second, I'm going to talk to you just about where the Nets are in terms of their overall title odds. We'll talk about just some of these other pieces of the division as well. All right, we'll close it off here with the title odds where BetOnline has everyone ranked right now. If you just roll through BetOnline's top, I'll go through the top five because this is probably the group, and then I think there's a drop off after this. Celtics at +550, they are the favorites right now. Warriors at +700, tied with the Bucks at +700. That's your, you know, 2A and 2B, and then you get the Nets at +750 and the Clippers at +750, and after that it's the Suns at +1100. So we're gonna say that's a dip down after that, right? I think putting the Nets, it's hard for me to put the Nets in the same group with this, just because of those those other sort of factors that I discussed before. I don't think the Celtics, if all injury stuff is equal, right? Again, I'm going to say that again. All injury stuff is relatively equal around the superstars. If any of these teams lost their superstars, they'd be dust on these on these championship numbers. So we just have to say it there. I do think that the Nets should probably be a little lower on this list just because of the stuff I talked about before that's not injury related. Now, I would still probably put them above the Phoenix Suns at 1,100 because they have Kevin Durant. And when you have him, you have to be in this top group. So that makes sense to me. I just think I'd probably slot them behind the Clippers. The Clippers have their own questions, but they're mostly injury stuff. Like the Kawhi and PG pieces really have to do more with injuries than they do have to do with like narratives or being unhappy that we know of now or anything like that. So I think I probably would flip-flop them to be underneath the Clippers just because of that other stuff. But again, when you have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons on the same team, you can't be lower than fifth. Like you can't be, like you're definitely above the Heat. You're definitely above the Sixers. Just in terms of closing lineup talent that you have on the squad, you just have to be above those teams. So I think for Bet Online lands on the championship odds is probably correct. And I, like I said, I would flip-flop that one piece where I dip them probably below the Clippers, and I know people aren't going to want to hear that. Maybe that's incorrect. I don't know. Maybe I could probably be talked out of that pretty easily. I don't think you can realistically put them above the Bucks right now just because we're 2 years away from having seen it with Giannis. We maybe would have been another year with Giannis winning this had Middleton not gotten hurt. We know the Warriors just won. They're returning most of the core of the team that won it. Same with the Celtics. They're going to return a core of players that were just in the finals. And maybe you say they actually improved a little bit in the offseason. So I think there's no way you can slot the Nets above any of those three teams. And there are enough question marks that I get why they are in the same range as the Clippers. The last one that I think is always an interesting one to look at is the make and miss the playoffs. This is one that I've taken some numbers on in the past, took the Lakers on to miss the playoffs last year at like really nice odds because I thought that they just had so much downside risk. I did not think the Russ thing was going to work. And like the AD injury piece and LeBron just aging, it was enough to talk me in to really pretty nice odds on them to miss the playoffs, which ended up happening. The Nets right now, minus 1,800 to make the playoffs on BetOnline, plus 900 to miss the playoffs, 95% chance if you take the yes side of this to make the playoffs. So nearly a lock on making it. Like it's like all but happened. And remember too, with the play-in, there's more risk with the play-in, but you also get a few bites at the apple with it too. So it's not all like you can end, like my point being there, you can end ninth or 10th and still have a chance to make the playoffs. Like that is where, you know, for, like that helped the Nets last year. I guess it hurt a little bit because of where they finished. But as we got closer to the end of the season, we talked about it a little differently. It was like, hey, they can still make it if they, you know, are able to win out some of these games. They were able to close it out pretty easily and not have to worry about it. But like it is, there is a world where you can kind of take a dip in the standings over the course of the season and then still be able to make it in the end. But when you look at that plus 900 number, like just going back to the beginning here where I was talking about, is there a world where, you know, this thing goes off the rails? This number, I'm not going to take it. Okay. So don't worry there. This is definitely not something I even if I thought the odds were correct, I wouldn't want to do it because it was just like, I introduce a rooting interest into this bet that I just simply don't have the mental or emotional fortitude to make. But at the plus 900, like a 10% piece, it is funny because unlike these other teams that are in the same range, the Celtics are plus 1600. Like they're just not missing the play. Like the Celtics just aren't missing the playoffs. They could lose Tatum, right? And not miss the playoffs. They could lose Tatum and still make the playoffs. Sorry. That's what I meant to say. It is funny where you see these other teams about missing the playoffs around their downside possibilities. I do think it is funny to see how this kind of works. Like they, I guess I can tell a story. Sometimes these bets, you want to like be able to tell yourself a story about how it can happen. I can definitely see the story for the Nets. The other story with the Nets here, unlike, say, the Clippers in the West, who have better odds to make the playoffs, even though their championship odds are the same, is because the East is just better this season, right? Like, it is going to be a little bit more of a fight for the playoffs than it even was last year, and it was kind of tough last year. And let's just run through the teams that the Nets will have to contend with to make the playoffs, because one of these teams is not going to make the playoffs. Heat, okay, they finished first. Celtics, Bucks, Sixers, Raptors went 48-34 last season. Don't forget that. The Bulls at six, I think they take a step back this season from what they were last year. They actually had a negative point differential, so maybe they take a step back. We have the Nets were seventh. The Hawks were eighth. In a world where the DeJounte Murray piece ends up working out, that team might just be better. That team definitely wants to make the playoffs. Maybe they swap pieces around because what goes out isn't as good. I don't know, but they're going to be a tough team. Cavs were the ninth seed. They just got Donovan Mitchell and gave away nothing. Nothing of consequence for them from last season. So that team's definitely going to get better. Hornets were the 10th seed. Hornets might just be sneaky bad this season. Obviously, the Miles Bridges piece factors into where they are. They could be, like, if there's a world where they kind of start bottoming out and Hayward gets put on the block, I don't know. Like, that team could be worse. But we know the Knicks are going to be trying this season. They got Jalen Brunson. They made some offseason signings that signal a team that's going to at least be trying. The Wizards made some moves here in the offseason and theoretically will have Beal back for a whole year. And then we get the three tanking teams, Pacers, Pistons, and Magic, who have no interest. My point is that the East has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I would say 9 teams that really could give you problems going into the playoffs, and then 2 teams that are going to at least to start the season be trying. That's not enough teams. Like, one of those teams is not going to make the playoffs. 2 of those teams, I mean, I think I just got to 10. 2 of those teams are not going to make the playoffs this year. It's not likely to be the Nets because they're such a good team. I'm just saying that the road is tough. The road in the East to the playoffs is tougher than it is in the West. Like, there's just more tanking teams in the West. There's more middling teams in the West. The East have a lot of teams that want to be really good this year, like that, and that's just the way it is. And that makes your road to the playoffs tougher. So just something to keep in mind over the course of the year. The last one was just the division. The win the division was plus 220. That's the East. I don't know, you know, how many people just pay attention to the divisions. The Nets division is tough, though, with the Celtics and Sixers. So just and the Raptors. So just something to be if you're really into that. You know, they have, in their division at plus 220, the Nets have probably the only division in basketball. Let me just look real quick. Yeah, I mean, well, maybe the Pacific. They have, but them and the Pacific are the only two divisions in out of the six that have, you can make a case that all 5 teams are trying to make the playoffs and will be good / great on the year. Every other team, every other division has one or sometimes 2 teams that could totally stink. And the Nets just don't have that with the Atlantic Division and the Eastern Conference, just because Celtics, Sixers, Raptors, Nets, and Knicks are all going to be trying this season. So wanted to take a quick look at where the Bet Online stuff kind of landed here. I'm sure this stuff is going to change. I'm sure Adam and I will end up talking about this as we get a little closer to the season, only about a month away now. So these numbers aren't likely to change too much outside of some ground shifting. Just news or injuries or something that happens between now and then. So I'm sure we'll revisit it as we get closer to the season, but just some stuff to think about. Make sure you are thinking about downloading or subscribing to wherever you listen to podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, free and available there. Go and be part of the movement to get us to 3,000 YouTube subscribers. We are about 30 away at the time of this, maybe 20 away. So if you have not subscribed over on YouTube, all the episodes and more are over on the Locked On Nets YouTube channel. So go check that out. Adam's the one that always ends with the quotes from the great American poet. So I'll leave that to him. I'll just tell you that we'll be back again next week talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.